treasure. What's your pleasure? Life is a depending how you dress her. So if the devil wear Prada, Adam Eve wear Nada, I'm in between, but way more fresher.
Yes, this is the PoetryFoundation.org podcast for the week of July 9th, 2007. I'm Curtis Fox. This week, homeboy Alexander Pope. Up on PoetryFoundation.org this week is an article about how the poems of Alexander Pope, the classic 18th century poet, have a lot in common with hip-hop lyrics. The article is written by Stephen Burt, a poet and critic who joins me by phone from his office at McAllister College in St. Paul. Hi, Steve.
Hi.
So let's just cut to the chase. What could Alexander Pope possibly have in common with Nas?
Well, not everything, but Pope is working in an art form where not only are rhyming couplets the norm and rhyme quite important, but the compositions people produce and expect to be judged by are often responses to one another, and the sophisticated reader or listener should be aware of those chains of responses.
So there's often a backstory in Pope. When he's insulting a poet, we have to know that that poet insulted him or that critic insulted him.
It helps to know. Yeah. It helps to know. You don't always have to.
Well, actually,
you got to at least be aware that he's probably responding to something.
And how is that like hip-hop?
Well, hip-hop has answer records, hip-hop has feuds, hip-hop has schools. There's the East Coast-West Coast rivalry, which even I know about, and again, that I'm not an expert.
Yeah.
Hip-hop has coded references to members of your posse, members of the other guy's posse. Hip-hop has boasting.
And also, I guess one of the similarities that you point out is that there's a real risk of retribution among hip-hop artists, especially as we know. And Pope felt vulnerable sometimes, and he carried around protection, right?
He walked around London with a dog who could serve as an attack dog if need be, after he published a long poem called The Dunciad.
And he also carried some pistols with him, too, didn't he?
Yes. Yes, pistols.
So your article for PoetryFoundation.org is essentially a close reading of one poem. It's called Epistle to Dr. Arbuthnot.
Yeah.
Now, we don't have time to go into the whole poem, but give me one passage from that poem that gives you a lot of pleasure.
Well, I like almost all of it. Mm-hmm. A bit from near the beginning, where Pope is talking about how all of the would-be poets and wannabe poets and bad playwrights and all of the lousy writers and wannabe writers in England seem to be bothering him and asking him to help them and read their manuscripts and give them something. Everybody wants something from him, and he just can't get a moment's peace.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the first passage I'm going to read you.
Go ahead.
Pope is imagining his friend, the doctor, as physically present in the room, which is one of the conventions of epistolary poetry, poems that pretend to be or actually are personal letters. And he says, shut the door, good John. Fatigued, I said, tie up the knocker, say I'm sick, I'm dead, the dog star rages, nay, 'tis past a doubt, all Bedlam or Parnassus is let out. And that is a joke, because Bedlam is an insane asylum and Parnassus is where the poets live.
Right.
So with all these crazy bad poets around him, it's as if the line between the nut house and the home of true poetry had been erased.
Right.
All Bedlam or Parnassus is let out, fire in each eye and papers in each hand. They rave, recite, and madden round the land. And they're not just going around the land, they're going towards Pope's country house, which he built to get some peace, which he now can't have.
Right.
What walls can guard me, or what shades can hide? They pierce my thickets, through my grot they glide. That's grotto.
Mm-hmm.
By land, by water, they renew the charge. They stop the chariot, and they board the barge. No place place is sacred, not the church is free. Even Sunday shines no Sabbath day to me. Then from the mint walks forth the man of rhyme, happy to catch me just at dinner time.
So what's he doing here? He's setting, there's, the language is kind of exaggerated, and he's making kind of a boast that he's a famous person, yet at the same time he's annoyed by his own fame, right?
Yeah, he's also making a complaint that is this what I worked hard for, that I could just be bothered all the time?
Yeah, and then he proceeds in the poem to satirize all sorts of poets, general poets in general, and particular well-known poets of his day.
Yes. First, he gives examples of crappy poets you'll never hear of, who don't correspond to particular individuals who are bothering him. And then he gives examples of individuals who are famous, who he thinks there's a good reason to attack or criticize in his verse. One dedicates in high heroic prose and ridicules beyond 100 foes. One from all Grub Street, that's where publishing happens. One from all Grub Street will my fame defend, and more abusive, calls himself my friend. This prints my letters, that actually happened. That expects a bribe, and others roar aloud, subscribe, subscribe. And then he gets into the would-be friends, the poets who want his help, who are so sort of dunderheaded that in trying to pay him a compliment so he'll help them out, they actually insult him. There are who to my person, that is his body, who to my person pay their court. I cough like Horace, that's Pope's favorite Latin poet. I cough like Horace, and though lean, am short. And I read that passage not just because it's another example of Pope's witty flexibility and ability to pack a lot of thoughts into these couplets that are also insults, but because it's the lead-in to Pope's alternative autobiography, his story of what actually is important about him. And that was the other passage I was going to read to you. Is that a good idea?
Yeah, that is a good idea. And this passage it leads into is actually the most touching part of the poem. It's the most autobiographical part. It touches on his own disability. Pope had tuberculosis of the bone and was basically a dwarf, I guess you would say, and a hunchback, and was tortured physically by this and emotionally, I'm sure, his entire life.
He was a hunchback, and he was in constant pain. He was strikingly short, under 5 feet, I think 4'6". Dwarf is misleading because it also refers to a genetic disorder Pope did not have.
Okay.
But yeah, he was short and ugly and in pain constantly throughout his adult life, and very conscious of it. There is a way in which someone who was less smart or less verbally adept or less successful would really become self-pity.
Right.
Becomes in Pope instead a way of speaking about his weaknesses from a position of strength. And that's what one of the things that he does in this, I agree, I find it touching passage from the epistle that we're looking at.
Can I get you to read that?
Yes. Why did I write? What sin to me unknown dipped me in ink, my parents or my own? As yet a child, nor yet a fool to fame, I lisped in numbers, that means meter, poetic meter, I lisped in numbers, for the numbers came. I left no calling for this idle trade, no duty broke, no father disobeyed. The muse but served to ease some friend, not wife, to help me through this long disease, my life. To second, Arbuthnot, thy art and care, and teach the being you preserved to bear.
Yeah, that seems so modern when he says, to help me through this long disease, my life.
Yeah.
And he's not, but he means that quite literally, I think.
Well, he means it literally and figuratively.
Mm-hmm. Pope's known as being extremely funny. What do you think is the funniest line in the poem, or some of the funniest lines in the poem?
Some of the funniest lines in the poem. Well, here he is defending himself for saying things that sound mean and insulting by doing some more insulting by saying these foolish writers who I'm insulting are so convinced that their work is great that they don't care what I say. I'm not hurting them. And he describes how, in particular, bad playwrights will just keep on writing and keep on trying to get their plays performed no matter how much people explain that they're terrible, no matter how many insults are thrown at them. And the joke here is that you can say what you want about these people and they're going to keep doing what they're doing. And it's that very persistence that makes them silly and funny to look at.
Mm-hmm.
Who shames a scribbler? Break one cobweb through, he spins the slight self-pleasing thread anew. Destroy his fib or sophistry in vain, the creature's at his dirty work again, throned in the center of his thin designs, proud of a vast extent of flimsy lines.
That can still hold true today, I think.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Humor in contemporary poetry is almost never satire. Why not, do you suppose?
Because satire depends on a prior ground of agreement among the poet and his or her imagined readers as to what is ridiculous and what deserves to be attacked.
So, you know, similar values.
Yeah. I mean, there aren't that many really original poets alive at any one time.
Right.
It may be that we simply happen, just as a matter of that's the way the dice came out, we simply happen not to have a major figure right now whose chief mode is extended, digressive, witty satire.
And we had the disadvantage that even if there were such a poet around today, he wouldn't necessarily know that the people he's satirizing are reading him. And one gets the feeling from Pope that the people he was making fun of read the poem.
That's exactly right. And that is a major difference between what Pope is doing and between what Pope is doing and what is available, certainly to American poets now, even American poets who have reason to believe they have many, many readers. Adrienne Rich comes to mind.
Right.
And who have reason to believe that they can actually change the way their readers behave. And I think Adrienne Rich has done so.
Mm.
My favorites among her poems are not the ones that have maybe had the greatest cultural impact, but she's a wonderful poet and she really has changed the way a lot of people behave. But the people whom she most wants to denounce in her poetry are not the ones who are going to be reading it.
Steve Burt, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Steve Burt's article on Pope can be found at poetryfoundation.org, where you can also read his reading guide to John Donne. Steve Burt's latest book of poems is Parallel Play, published by Grey Wolf Press. Let us know what you think of this program. Email us at podcast@poetryfoundation.org. The music used in this program comes from the Claudia Quintet. For the poetryfoundation.org podcast, I'm Curtis Fox. Thanks for listening.